Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out on this beautiful day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. First of all, I want to welcome Reverend Dr. John White here to speak with us this morning. June's little boy, as we refer to him sometimes. He has just moved from Columbia Seminary to Princeton Theological Seminary. And John is a longtime friend of this church, so it is going to be part of our responsibility now that he has gone to a highfalutin school like Princeton to keep him humble. So, got to tease him a little bit. This time you can take your red pad, sign it with your name and address, that type of information. We would appreciate having it. We're in the midst of our 30-day challenge. This is the second Sunday in it. Last week we preached on community. Today John is speaking on worship. Bill taught the second class this morning on worship in Sunday morning at 9:30. My class, or our class on will be the second class for the evening class at my house this Wednesday at 7, and it'll be on worship. We had an excellent class for the first one. A lot of good discussion and people opening up. And I have one book left if someone wants one. And if you're not able to get into a class, you can still read through this, and they're short, and you can go back and catch up and read. So if you want it, it's up here. Ryan, you do have the nursery next door, crying room in the library with a speaker system. You can see that deacons are collecting clean, gently used coats, gloves, scarves for local families in need. And you can see some of the things back at the table in the Bread of Life food pantry needs gelatins, puddings, baked items, freshly baked items that can be delivered the following Tuesday. And I was giving, here it is. I always like to announce this. There'll be a church growth committee meeting in the library following the service. I hope that you can stay for that. If you're not on that committee or that team, you can go and you can be a part of that team. So church growth in the library following the service. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise is "We Have Come Into His House," number 588. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you as the one truly holy God. We praise you with our songs, prayers, service, and love. Forgive us for not devoting our lives to you on a daily basis. Help us to cherish time in church with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to use worship as a time to forget about ourselves and focus on your divinity. May time spent in worship and praise restore our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
We believe in forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us, with a real sense of unity and compassion for one another and unity with other churches in our community, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Junior Church may leave at this time, and let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, be sure to ask them. Lovely. Isn't it nice to have so many in choir? It's been so many years since we've had, I think I counted 11. I'm not so good in math, but is that right? Just so nice and hear the voices. And I know they have a good time practicing together too.
She does exercises too.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Maybe I can come for that part.
Exercise.
Responsive reading, Psalm 100, 709. We did this a few weeks ago, but we're going to do it again because it fits in so good with the theme this morning. It's just two paragraphs. I'll read the first, you read the second. 709, Psalm 100 in the back of your red hymnals. I love the way this starts. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all.
Amen. At this time, I will request the elder on the door to come forth with the prayer requests.
Hello.
You're going to have to excuse my better side here.
I'll survive.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Prayer request this morning. We have prayer request from Verna for her husband Ron, who is having some medical conditions this morning. So we hope all goes well and that is taken care of quickly. And also prayer concern from Kathy Segi, Kathy's aunt Tracy Swedko. Cancer has spread to her lung tissues, and so we ask that we're in prayer for her comfort and for strong faith. Also, prayer of praise, again for John White. What Leonard didn't include in this story, which I think is the most wonderful part, is that he came to us and said, "Can I preach on the 29th? I'm kind of exaggerating. June came to us and said, "Can my little boy preach on the 29th? But the good news is that we didn't seek him out. He came to us. So hopefully now that he's in New Jersey and a lot closer, we'll see more of him.
I want to add Brian Nichols. He's here with us today in prayer requests. He's going through some medical tests, and I hope those all turn out well for him. I want to add the church series that we're going through. That it'll touch the life of our church, and pray for growth in membership and spiritual growth for the life of Glenshaw Valley. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, reminding you in Presbyterian tradition we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. Many that are here probably don't feel like worshiping you and praising you, going through struggles in their personal life, with their relationships with others, in their employment, their finances, a health problem, or maybe just woke up not feeling well this morning. But help us to learn when we can get our minds off of ourselves for a little while and focus on you in worship and praise and look to you. Things can get better. And then to come to you in prayer and present our needs to you, because you love us and you hear us and you answer our prayers according to your will, not always ours, and that's where the confusion comes in for us. So help us to line up our will with yours as individuals, and help us to do it also as a church, that we can truly be the church that you have called us to be, where we fellowship with a true unity, loving one another, forgiving one another, speaking words to each other that edify us and build up the body of Christ. Help us look to you for guidance, for leadership, for direction. Help us be the best church that Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church can possibly be. Help us to grow in numbers, in our spiritual growth, in finances, in everything that we seek to do. We thank you again for your great love for all of humanity, but for us as individuals and as families. Unify us, move us forward. Help us be a real church community. Help us worship, not just here today, but when we go home, worship with our families, worship with our neighbors, and spend time in prayer, in Bible study, reflection, in our devotions. Help us be the men and women, boys and girls, that you have called us to be. Help us to be more like Jesus. Lord, we lift all these prayer requests up to you and place them in your capable hands through the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, the screen song, is Forever. And while we're getting ready for that, I want to make an announcement to send here, but unless I'm wrong, communion is next Sunday. So I hope everyone can be here for that.
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, a day full of love and compassion for us from above. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for all the gifts that you've given from above to help us be a church, unified, moving in one direction, not for our glory, but for your glory, that people's lives can be touched, they can be made whole and well, and understand who you are, and find salvation and the promise of eternal life. Thank you for every gift that is given, every gift that is used. Lord, no gift is too small to be given. No gift is too small to dedicate to your glory. Help us worship you and devote our lives to you. And let us recognize people for their gifts and what they give. But most of all, even if they're not recognized and not noticed, Lord, thank you for recognizing them. Bless this congregation, everything that they do. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
Thank Bill for coming forward to read the scripture.
You're going to have to put up that end, too.
I'll be all right. Good morning, Church of Glenshaw. Today's scripture talks about the healing of some lepers. Why that's important? If you remember Moses' time, he set up a specific way of determining whether someone was cleansed or not by sending the person to the priest. It should be noted that there is not one documented time that a person had ever been cleansed of leprosy. And so leprosy, the cleansing of leprosy was set up as one of the three proofs that a person was indeed the Messiah. So listen to your own personal message as I read Luke 17, 11 through 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Masters, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Friends, it is good to be back in your presence once again. When my mother heard that I was going to be available this weekend, she said, "You're coming to Pittsburgh." I said, "Well, I am." Because understanding I've just been in Princeton less than a month now, but there was just, I just had this opening in my schedule. She said, "You're coming to Pittsburgh." I said, "Okay." And she also said, "Oh yes, by the way, if you're available, can you preach at the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church?" How about that? There are people all over the world who have heard of the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, let me tell you. Because when you are there on a member of a faculty and in the administration of a seminary, they ask you to report where you are preaching, because it's PR for the school. So as I have been there at Columbia Theological Seminary, just outside of Atlanta, and your name was broadcast there many times. And now that I am in Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton, New Jersey, your name is on that schedule as well. So I tell you, it is good to be here. When friends from the seminary in Princeton heard that I was coming to Pittsburgh to preach, and people had assumed that I would be, some people said, "Are you going to be going to Shadyside Presbyterian Church?" I said, "Well, I have preached at Shadyside Church, but not on this occasion." They said, "Oh, well, of course, you must be going to East Liberty Presbyterian Church." I said, "Well, I have preached at East Liberty Church, but not on this occasion." They said, you must be going to the First Presbyterian Church downtown." Again, I have spoken at that congregation, but this time, I'm not going there. I said, "I'm going to one church that is near and dear to my heart, and I'm going home. I'm here at Glenville." Glenville. So, it's been mentioned several times, I'm at Princeton Theological Seminary. I have to bring greetings from them because that's what I do. And I am there as the Dean of Student Life and Vice President of Students at the seminary. In Princeton Theological Seminary, we have some 550 students from every state in the United States. And also our students come from 30 different countries around the world. So it is quite a ministry that takes place there. It was actually the first fully endorsed seminary by the Presbyterian Church going back to 1812. Now, Pittsburgh Seminary, of course, which I'm proud of because I graduated there twice. We have our roots going back to 1794, but if you look at the annals of the Presbyterian Church, USA, Princeton, as that name, Princeton Theological Seminary, is a tad older, but I am indeed split with my allegiance, so you can understand that. Friends, please pray with me. Great God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We should always be grateful for the fact that you have never turned your back on us, that you have been with us in thick and thin. And we are thankful indeed that you have passed along your word to us, and that we have the revelation known as Scripture to guide us, to be with us, as we intend to be your people in the days ahead. So we ask that you would bless us, and indeed we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And as always, I am thankful to the pastor, Leonard, and to the session for this opportunity. Friends, as I begin, I have to make a confession. It's one thing when you are with family, you can make confessions, right? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
How about that? And the confession that I want to make on this day is that I am not a fan of weddings. What? Perhaps this is not the wisest thing for a preacher to say, but I'm not a fan of weddings. Now, I love marriage. It's a wonderful institution, and my wife is not here today, so I can say it's also at times a challenging institution. I heard an amen there. Watch out. Notice I didn't say, "Did I hear an amen for that one?" because I'd be in trouble. I'm always delighted to officiate at weddings. And I am also very delighted to attend weddings of family members and friends. But I tell you that I am not a fan of all the trappings that go along with weddings. Now, do you hear an amen?
Amen.
The planning, the invitations, the guest lists, who sits where at a table, and the cost. Oh my goodness, who could be a fan of such things? Maybe it's because I am a man, and we know, those of us who are men, we are not fans of weddings and all the trappings. Do I hear it? Amen, men?
Amen.
Yeah, how about that? You would think that I am setting the background for preaching about the miracle at the wedding at Cana with such an introduction. But I am trusting that indeed all this pulls together, so hang in there with me. This past summer, I was invited to attend a wedding. And this one I could not avoid, as the bride was a close relative on my father's side of the family. And the actual ceremony was quite beautiful. It was there in an outdoor venue. It was by a lake. It was in Georgia. And it was a rare situation in the sense that being in Georgia, in the middle of summer, outside, and it didn't rain, nor was it oppressive as far as humidity, and the sun was not extremely burning. So it was actually quite pleasant. But still, being as I am, this preacher who likes to avoid weddings, this man who likes to run away the first chance I get. And even though I was not officiating at the wedding, would you believe that they still dragged me up to the front of the ceremony? Such things happen to pastors, is that right, Leonard? They just pull you all the way. He said, mm-hmm. And see, he's on the payroll, so he has to watch out. He said, mm-hmm. I'm not on the payroll. See, I leave an offering. I don't get paid. I leave an offering so I can say anything I want up here. I have fun. But they dragged me up to the front. And, of course, following the service, it was time for the reception. They had these tables under this tent. And then I decided to be a part of who my true self. So I found a table at the back of the garden, you know, so I could plan my quick escape. And at this particular table, there was a couple. Their names were King and Diana Edwards. Now, preferring not to join in with those line dances known as the electric slide, the Spanish hustle, and the wobble, I entered into a conversation with the gentleman who, like me, was abandoned by his wife as they were dancing the electric slide, the wobble, and the Spanish hustle. Don't ask me how to do any of those, because it will be very embarrassing for both of us. But if you want to know how to do those dances, ask my mother, because she was there dancing the electric slide, the Spanish hustle, and the wobble. Now, I wobble on occasion, but it has nothing to do with that dance. But I talked to this individual. This man, his name was King, and what a great name for an individual. King, that's his real name too. I want a name like that. Look at my name, John. Oh yeah, it's in the Bible and all that, but John, King. Wow, what a name. Well, I discovered that King was an Olympic athlete. He had been an Olympic athlete, actually a sprinter. And he was a sprinter in the Atlanta Olympics for the U.S. Olympic team. Wow. How about that? I played football for Quaker Valley High School way back in the day. Big whoop. He was an Olympic athlete. His name was King. But I noticed that King was in a wheelchair. He had, at one time, earned an Olympic medal. He was a sprinter. But I came to understand that both before and following his time in the Olympics, King was serving in the U.S. Army. And in the final week of his extended service in the Army, he was stationed in Iraq. And he was there in a vehicle that was hit by a rocket. resulting in his becoming a paraplegic. This man, who was once an Olympic athlete, was now in a position where he could no longer walk. He was dependent upon others to push him around. As members of our family were dancing, I discovered more about his story. His recovery was quite slow, extremely painful. There were times as he was talking with me, he told me about how he wanted to indeed join his service mates who were with him in that vehicle, all of whom had died. He wanted to give up hope. He wanted to give up hope because the situation was so grim. But the turning point for King came during his rehab, after he was out of the military hospital and he was in a civilian hospital, when he was discovered by a 12-year-old young lady, also in rehab. And this young lady began the regimen of visiting him daily to encourage him. And he eventually came to refer to her as the angel sent by God. She visited him day in, day out. He was discharged from the hospital, thankful for what he had received, feeling better about life. He went back to the hospital on a follow-up. Those of us who have been through surgery, those of us who have been in rehab, know exactly about which I'm talking. And when he went back, he asked the people there about his angel and learned that she had died. He still cannot walk, but I tell you, my friends, oh, how he can live. There at that table during that wedding, which I did not want to attend, that stranger who has since become a friend gave testimony to me as to the importance of giving thanks. Of giving thanks, John and John, that song you sang. Giving thanks for that which we have received. So where are the other nine? The words are somewhat haunting when spoken by our Lord. We are told that Jesus was entering into yet another village, this one in the northern part of Palestine, between Samaria, which was the capital of formerly the northern kingdom, and Galilee, that area where Jesus spent so much of his ministry. And he encountered 10 lepers. Better stated, they had sought him out, as perhaps his reputation as a healer had preceded his arrival. They called out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now the words of our text reveal the directive given to them by our Lord. God will indeed be with you. Go and show yourself to the priest. And as they walked away, we read that they were healed. They had not gone to the priest as of yet. On their way, they were healed. And it was at this point in the narrative that only one of the 10 came back to thank Jesus and to praise God with what we are told was a loud voice. So Jesus feels inclined to ask, okay, so where are the other nine? Now, at this point in our reading or hearing, most of us are quick to hop onto the bandwagon of blame and finger pointing, saying, yeah, that's right, where are they? They should have known better. Those ungrateful so-and-sos, do they not know who this Jesus was and who this Jesus is? How can they be so ungrateful for all that they had received? But let us place ourselves in the position of those individuals who were suffering from this terrible affliction. Now, I am not a physician. I'm not a biologist, so I'm not about to give a complete description of the physical manifestations that would accompany leprosy. Those of you who Google everything, young people, you could find out more about that in 5 seconds than I can tell you here. Nowadays, leprosy has a different name. They call it Hansen's disease. And it is a chronic infection caused by the bacterium, Mycobacterium leprae. Wow, I didn't know I could say that. Left untreated, it can damage the skin, the limbs, the nerves, and the eyes. In my travels, I have personally seen some individuals who were suffering with leprosy. And I can tell you, it is not pretty and it is extremely painful. So we should understand that it may very well be the case that these individuals who were healed from that affliction, that they would have been in shock, or that perhaps they would have been in disbelief. They had their own reasons for not coming back to thank Jesus. Maybe they were so overjoyed that they were doing indeed those cartwheels down the road. I don't know what was going on with them, but still, there was one individual in their number who had the clarity of mind and, yes, had the faith to indeed return to Jesus and to both give thanks and to praise God. You know, Leonard said that today we're talking about worship. But I think every time that we think about worship, we must begin with our thanks and praise to God. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because we must understand who God is, and we must understand who we are and how we are to give thanks and praise to God for all that we have received. As I read this text, I think it is more important than to speculate about the other nine to think about how this challenges us to be more faithful in the days ahead as we move into our worshipful lives. You know, and interesting, as we think about leprosy, if folks like to read all the commentaries that are out there, and I read a few, as you look up leprosy, you'll find out that that term leprosy referred to not just one, but a number of different ailments that were there in the times of antiquity. And I think this is very important for our application today, because there are so many of us who have struggled with this or with that. It may not be called leprosy, but it can be so real. And yet God is still there in the midst of that struggle with us. But I'm not going to leave leprosy that quickly. In my research, I discovered that there are still 2 million people in the world today who have leprosy. Just this past week, I talked to a couple of students who were from India. And they said it is all too prevalent in that Asian nation. That indeed, as they are pastors of churches studying at the seminary there in Princeton for a couple of years, they said that their churches have outreach ministries to leper communities. And indeed, trying to get people help medically. So we as church communities must do everything we can to be about the whole person and caring for that. We remember that indeed, that one of the largest medical centers in this city is called, what, Presbyterian University Hospital. Presbyterians have always been about healing, realizing that's part of our mission and ministry with God. But let's think about what the ramifications were for the people of old and for people who were lepers, that they were considered social outcasts. And also people who were lepers could not approach the temple for worship. That is the truth. They were not welcomed. But it was indeed God in the form of the Son who made these individuals clean. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
The king, the gentleman about whom I had spoken earlier, I still love that name, King. He may still not be able to walk following that horrific attack at the war zone. However, the grace of God can touch us in those places where we need it most, and in ways that we cannot even come close to imagining. Jesus transformed the lives of the persons in our lessons. And in the same way, our Lord touches us to the point that we have been brought here to the sanctuary on this day. So where are the other nine? Where are they? We look around our sanctuaries, our temples, and sometimes we feel so down because each and every day we are not filled to capacity and beyond. I don't worry about that. It is easy for us to be so preoccupied with that particular line and the other nine that we miss the focus of this passage, because there was one who came back immediately and bowed down and to the Lord and realized that it was God who had made him whole. So where are the other nine? I don't worry about that as much as I indeed put that attention upon the one who came back. And there was one that we need to emulate. And may each and every last one of us be like that one. Why should we do this? Regardless of our circumstances in life. Sometimes folks are saying, oh, I'm not feeling that well. I don't want to believe in God. It's oh my gosh, how could God lead me in such a situation? But I think the psalmist states it plain. He said, enter the gates with thankfulness and God's courts with praise. Why? Because the Lord is good and God's steadfast love endures forever. And God's faithfulness is there for all generations. Like the song that was sung earlier, give thanks with a grateful heart, because if we give thanks, we realize that indeed our Lord has broken down the barriers that have kept us from becoming whole. Our God has allowed a new door to be opened into the future. You see, as we read this whole passage, and as Jesus sent them to the priest, as was part of the Levitical code, we can understand that the truth is that the high priest himself, of the order of Melchizedek, talking about Jesus, is the one who has pronounced not just the lepers, but has pronounced us clean. And we have the faith to give our thanks and praise in all that we say and in all that we do. That is the beginning and the end. And that indeed is why we worship. All praise be to God this day and every day. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
And amen.
I love sitting up here because the choir is trying to figure out how we're going to sing this next song. I hear people say, what are we going to do? I think we got a song coming here. Sing praise, right? And we got four times. The first time the choir. The second time, the women. Third time, the men. I know that, you know, men need some help. So I'm glad that you build up to the men. And then the fourth time all. Let us sing praise. That those who are able, please stand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.